and made stand upon the feet as a man. And a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, the second like to a bear, it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night vision, behold, the fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth, it devoured and broke in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. 10 horns. How many of you have finished reading Lucifer's Children? And he told you what he believed the 10 horns are. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. I believe this is identifying the Antichrist. A preeminent little horn that rises up. Do you remember how Hitler was speaking and always talking to the people? A very preeminent orator, very skilled, charismatic orator that could actually capture and get the people caught up in the oratory. An orator with oratorical skills to actually mesmerize people. That's what you're going to look for now when you look for the Antichrist. The Joker going to be able to actually bewitch people with oratory skills, because he's going to be inspired by a spirit in him that's able to actually captivate the fleshly, soulless people. And they're going to be caught up in what? A personality cult. Can't you see churches preparing people for that? Don't you see them telling you, you got a covering? The pastor is your master. That's programming them to receive the Antichrist. The folk at World Changers are being programmed to receive the Antichrist, not the Christ. Down here at Lakewood or whatever, Lakeland with Joel Osteen, Lakewood, they're being programmed to receive the Antichrist. Potter's House and Jake's, that's a personality cult. They're being programmed to receive not the Christ, the Antichrist. Anybody that gets you wrapped up in a human being's personality is getting you ready to receive the Antichrist. The entertainment industry worshiping Tupac is preparing you for the Antichrist. Jay-Z is preparing you for the Antichrist. I'm a fan of Beyonce's. I know you're being prepared for the Antichrist. Anything that programs you to worship man, the flesh, and you have any kind of a demigod sitting over you that you pay homage to, your mind and soul is prepared to receive the Antichrist, because cursed is the man that makes flesh his arm and whose heart departs from the Lord. I told you, you got to deconstruct that image of God. Notice how these same people won't worship God, but they'll worship a man. They'll worship a woman, but they will not worship God. You know how you know? When you say anything about their God, they become defensive. They jump on the defense. Touch not God's anointed, and do his prophets no harm. That's not talking about any one person. That's talking about every saved person on this planet. You are a prophet of God if you carry the word of God to the nations. Moses is dead. Now you have the ability to have Christ fill you as an individual, and you're just as valid as anybody else carrying this word. I don't care who they are. There's no big U's and little me's in this good buddy. Christ is all and in all. See, we got to get away from the worship and deification of man. That's where it is. That's how he's deconstructing the image of God. He's replacing it with Hitler. He's replacing it with Nebuchadnezzar, Alexander the Great. He's got somebody in you with oratory, building up a network of control in you, deifying man. Remember the elections back in the past, 2008, 2012? Oratory. Built two big Roman columns up in Chicago. And you stand there in a park like a Greek god, mesmerizing the people. Women in the front row was crying as Barack Obama was speaking. What you crying about? In 8 years, ain't nothing changing. You over there crying about nothing. Now it's Trump. Or Hillary. Hillary? It's a vote that will kill you over Hillary. They'll kill you over Jakes. They'll beat you to death over Jakes. And for God's sake, don't mention the Pope. Shoot, they're liable to take you outside and stone you like Stephen over the Pope. That's the spirit of Antichrist. You're not going to be neutral in this. You're going to either love Jesus or despise him. He says, you gather with me or separate against me. You scatter against me. But you'll always see these people displace Jesus with somebody's personality. You're going to worship something or somebody. And buddy, there's some personality that you got inside of you that has displaced Jesus and dislodged him as Lord over your life because you got another Lord. This is terrifying what I'm saying. And the vast majority of church folk would just blow it off. That's what they say, you know. My pastor, ain't nobody talking about your master blaster pastor. Your pimp pastor. As you sit there as a whore in the front seat being pimped, paying your tithes to the whorehouse. Wake up, man. What is wrong with you? There's no such thing as a New Testament tithe. And you've been taught that your whole life to take your money by the Antichrist. The Antichrist got you paying tithes to him. Old Testament tithes were agricultural. You brought food to the priest in the temple. 10% of your crop. How can you transfer that into 10% of every dollar you make so this clown can drive around in a Bentley? Wake up out of that stupid coma the devil put you in and live. Look what he says. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, thousands ministered unto him. And 10,000s times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set and the books were open. You better know God keeps very good records. Everything you've ever done in this life is written down in his records. And he's going to call your name and open the book on your life. And that's what you'll be judged out of. You won't be judged according to anybody else doing anything to you. God's records will judge you. And buddy, you can erase some stuff if you get right and repent. So that won't be in the records. He'll cast things into the sea of forgetfulness if you live a life that will eradicate the negative records in your book. That's why you can't be concerned about folks and what they do. I'm trying to rewrite my life. I'm trying to get the record straight for me to stand before that book and no accusations can be made against me personally. Amen. You better make this thing about you and the Lord now. Forget folks, buddy. Amen. The judgment was set and the books were open. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. So you see now, the Antichrist will be destroyed and its body will be given to the burning flame. Amen. You better stop putting people in heaven that ain't there. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away. Yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. And I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts which are four are four kings which shall arise out of the earth, and the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding great, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, broke in pieces, and stamped the residue or remnant with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and what?
Prevailed
against them. Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change what?
Times and laws.
You can't see this?
Yes.
You can't see them changing the times and the laws?
Yes.
Telling you that homosexual marriage is valid? Telling you that you are now engaging in hate speech and you'll be fined or incarcerated for it? You can't see this thing has come upon us? He'll seek to change times and laws that govern humanity. It's already happened. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. That's 3.5 years. Time, times, 2 years. The dividing of time, a half a year. The saints will be given into his hand for 3.5 years. We're bringing in a harvest in austere conditions. He'll seek to destroy us, but won't be able to. He'll be persecuting folks, killing folks, but the gospel will be rolling through.
Yes.
Until God is finished doing what? Bringing in his harvest from the field. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it until the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations or my thoughts much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. So you see now, here we go again with these four beasts. 10 kings and 10 rams raising up. 1 notable horn coming up, a notable king. But it's always back to these 4 beasts and these 10 horns. 4 beasts. 10 horns. You got to always see that in the Bible. Look at chapter 8. In the 3rd year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. So he's referring back to chapter 7. That was the first vision. Now he's got a second one. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in a vision, and I was by the river of Uliah. Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had 2 horns. And the 2 horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. But he did according to his will and became great. Now, and as I was considering, behold, and he goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth, and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which had been standing before the river, and ran into him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with anger against him, and smote the ram, and broke his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore, the he-goat waxed very great, and when it was strong, the great horn was broken, for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. What's happening here? He's taking up this vision. This creature, this ram that had two horns, he's picking it up now at the Medo-Persian Empire. The first empire is reflected of a lion, which is built Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar. The kingdom with two horns is the Medo-Persian Empire. You remember in Daniel when he talks about Darius and Cyrus, the kings of Medo-Persian kings. One empire was stronger than the other one. That's why one horn was larger than the other one. But the Medo-Persian Empire was confronted by the next empire that was going to take over, which was the Empire of Greece. And this is why you see this creature coming to contend with the ram. And it moved along the ground from the west, and it came over the whole earth to confront that two-horned empire of Medo-Persia. And that's the Greek empire led by Alexander the Great. So it came and ran into the Medo-Persian empire and destroyed it. And this goat, which was Alexander the Great, confronting the ram, which was the Medo-Persian empire, was broken up. And the Bible says in verse 8 of chapter 8 that there stood up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. The four notable ones were the four generals that took over the Greek Empire after Alexander the Great died. People, you know, Alexander the Great was bisexual. It's believed he died of syphilis, but he was ate up with perversion. And he finally died, and four of his generals took over. They divided the Greek Empire north, south, east, and west. Those four generals were Cassander, Ptolemy, Antigonus, and Seleucus. So you got Cassander, Ptolemy, Antigonus, and Seleucus. Out of those divisions of that four-pronged empire, out of those four divisions, out of one of those segmented parts of those four divisions that were made, one of those entities will rise up, the Antichrist, in the future. I know Derek Prince believes that the empire, the part of the empire that contained Pergamos, will be the place that the Antichrist will come from. That's just one theory. But out of that segmented empire, there's going to be one part of it that the Antichrist will raise up according to the Bible, because in verse 9 he says, and out of one of them came forth a little horn. He talked about the little horn back in Daniel chapter 7. So you see now, one of those segmented parts of the Greek Empire will lead to the raising up of this Antichrist figure. He's going to come out of that divided empire. He'll wax exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. Now, a lot of times in the Bible, you get a forerunner or figure that kind of depicts the future. Now, you'll find that out of one of those generals came another man that took over one of those segments of the empire, who came and destroyed Israel, made them stop sacrificing and cut off the daily oblation or sacrifice to God. And that was Antiochus Epiphanes. Now, you know, an epiphany is the appearance of a god. He thought he was God himself in the flesh. So Antiochus Epiphany was a prototype or a image of the Antichrist and what he'll do in the future. So you see now, this historically happened as a forerunner of the next appearance of the Antichrist, which will be a man who will come to the Middle East and begin to try to orchestrate some kind of a collective peace agreement there, until he's going to come into that temple and say, "I am the God you worship," and end the sacrifice again. See, again, now when Israel is allowed to really assume and take over where the Old Testament left off as a people of God, the nation of Israel, you know, they got to offer daily sacrifices of animals. And you know, these folk now, Peter or whoever they are, they're not going to go for that. They'd rather keep your dog alive than you. They love dogs and cats more than they love humans. Won't do a thing for a dead baby being butchered every day, but tell you running commercials telling you to give to keeping a dog from dying. But won't do anything to keep a child alive, but just don't kill the animals. That's telling you the human race is becoming more closely related to animals than they are humans. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And a host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground. Remember, that's going to happen now. They're going to hate the truth. Just tell the truth and people will despise you. They're casting the truth down to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, "How long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation?" Remember, Jesus said when he talked about this in Matthew 24, he called it the abomination of desolation or desecration. To give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot. And he said unto me, "Unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed." And it came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning then, behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Uliah, which called and said, "Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision." So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, "Understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision." Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright. And he said, "Behold, I will make thee know that what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed the end shall be. The ram which you saw having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia." So you see, we're now breaking down what I said earlier. He's telling them this is the Medo-Persian Empire. "And the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king, Alexander the Great. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power." So you're going to have dissected Greece that won't have the power of Alexander the Great, but it will be distributed amongst those four generals that we named earlier. "And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance," here we go, here's the Antichrist, "and understanding what?"
Dark.
What's a dark sentence? It's a mystic sentence. It's a mystical sentence that came from witchcraft. Satan is speaking to you in the darkness of ritualistic worship of Satan himself. He's got dark revelations from the king of this world, the god of this world, Satan. He has dark sentences, and he'll stand up. "And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power." He'll be inspired by the dark, sinister forces of Satan. "And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy, also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace, a peace process, A peace treaty. When you see a 7-year peace treaty signed in the Middle East, the tribulation period begins. And by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterward I rose up and did the king's business. And I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. So it is a result of these visions and knowing the future. Daniel saw what was going to come to his people. And he did what we need to do now, seeing what we're seeing. Look at that, what happens in Daniel 9. In the first year of Darius, the son of Azarias, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. So you see now that Median king, Darius, the first kingdom is the Medes, stood up after Babylon. They conquered Babylon. And the Medes king took over first before the Persian king. Cyrus came from the Persians. I believe that's the one that Esther dealt with. But you see now, Darius is here first. Now this is happening historically just like you saw it in the visions. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. So he found this out by studying. This was no revelation and no dream. He just read the book and understood it would take 70 years to accomplish this. And I set my face unto the Lord. Here's what we need to do. I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with what?
Fasting.
And sackcloth and ashes, which is a type of humility and humbling yourself. See, I see what's going on. I'm going to set my face personally toward the Lord with prayer, supplications, and fasting, because I'm going to get me ready for this, buddy. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God. Don't nobody call the Lord that anymore.
Amen.
Great and dreadful. Keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity. And I've done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to all Israel that are near and that are far off through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongs confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges, and that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven have not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore have the Lord washed upon the evil and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he does, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, as I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from the city of Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins And for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name, which is now the present day church. For we do not present our supplication before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. That's begging God. In the midst of this hell, not because of our righteousness, because we're worth it, but because of your own mercy, answer these prayers, because hell has come upon us. And while I was yet speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. Now, imagine you at night praying in your room and all of a sudden Gabriel touches you on the shoulder. Now you're diving out of windows and running down the street yelling and not able to get an answer. How many people pray but don't expect anything to happen? You start praying, somebody come to see you. If you want to answer for real, you can't be afraid in prayer, because environmental changes take place in real prayer, especially when you're by yourself. The devil gonna bring the fear first. You gotta fight through the fear. You somewhere in a closet in the dark, everybody going out of town but you. And all of a sudden the atmosphere start changing in the closet. Let me see, I think I left some laundry. Make sure that. They'll leave a pot on in the kitchen, start thinking of stuff to do. Let me call my mama and check on her. And look, man, hold it. You gotta stay down through that prayer, buddy. Let the fear come, fight through the fear. Because atmosphere changes will take place as an atmospheric spiritual war is taking place. As answers are on the way. Gabriel touches this man on the shoulder. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression, one, and to make an end of sins, two, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, three, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, four, and to seal up the vision, five, and the prophecy, six, and to anoint the most holy, seven. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 80. What's that? What's 7 weeks and 80? 62 weeks. 67 weeks. So it says, shall be 7 weeks and 80, which is 67 weeks, and 2 weeks, which is 69 weeks. And 2 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. You know, that happened with Nehemiah and Ezra. Remember those books where they reestablished and rebuilt the kingdom? And it was given by the king's decree that they could do it, but they encountered Sanballat and Tobiah trying to withstand them from rebuilding that city. What were they trying to stop? A habitation for God being built. Because they knew if God's city was rebuilt and the temple reestablished, God's presence would come and indwell them, and they would be invincible again. The only thing that defeated Israel is the only thing that defeats the church now, and that is rebellion against God and sin in the camp. You expunge the sin from the camp, God will come. How do you expunge sin? You kill the sinner. The old man, get rid of him, and God will come. Individually, this is why is Daniel so greatly beloved? Because he stayed in prayer all the time. He knew what nobody else knew because he was in communion all the time. You want to know mysteries from God? You got to commune with God all day long, and you'll know things that other people don't know. To keep you safe, don't worry about other folk. You're trying to get a revelation for you to keep you safe in the midst of this. Sixty-nine weeks. In troublous times, the temple and the environment in Jerusalem will be rebuilt. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. So after that 62-week period, Messiah will be cut off. But not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. So that's what Antiochus Epiphanes did. He came and destroyed the city, burned up everything, and took the stuff out of the temple. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate or the desolator. So now, we see everything fulfilled up to the 69-year point. The 69-week point. Because 69 weeks is actually 69 weeks of years. In other words, for every week, you got a 7-year period. So we're right up against that last week being fulfilled. So right now, we stand at exactly 483 weeks, with another week left to be fulfilled. See, 69 weeks is 483 years. We're right there, and it stopped. What happened? Messiah was cut off. So he was crucified. At that point, there came a parenthesis around time, and God stopped time as far as accounting for these weeks. Now we got a stall in the time period whereby grace is instituted to save people's souls. You don't want to see the 70 week begin to transpire and you weren't saved. Because that's the culmination of time. So we're waiting on the last week, which is another 7-year period, to cut everything off and end everything concerning God's revelation. We're stalled at the 69th week, awaiting for the 70th week to come to end everything. And the 70th week, that 7-year period, is called the Great Tribulation period. See, that's what we're stalled out for God to ingather the saints of God from the earth, disallowing and holding back the 7 years that God prophesied would come. So that's where we're sitting right now. Now, in Daniel chapter 10, you find Daniel praying again. 21 days, another visitation from another angel. A war is fought, coming through the Medo-Persian Empire. The prince of Persia withstood the angel. And you see the Medo-Persian Empire was replaced by the kingdom of Greece, according to the angel, which was coming next. All this is going on around Daniel because he's a man of prayer. You see how he's doing it? He's a man of prayer, and the thing is like a whirlwind around him. He's knowing things. Angels coming in this room, and how is Gabriel walking up on him and talking to him? Now this other angel had to fight. Gabriel's more powerful than a messenger angel. He could probably come through the forces by himself and fight, but this other smaller degreed angel had to call on Michael, the prince of the angels, to come and fight with him to get through. So you see now, all day long, prayers are instigating a spiritual metaphysical war. A metaphysical warrior is wearing armor in prayer. Notice Ephesians chapter 6. It ends with praying always, with all prayer and supplicate. You see what Daniel was doing? Praying and supplicating. What's a supplication? A request. I'm praying and supplicating. You know what my main supplication is before God? All day long. What I pray every day? End this. I wish you'd wrap this up. I wish you'd just trigger this thing. I wish this thing would blow up like an atomic bomb. Why not just go into this thing and end it all? Let's just end the suffering, end the child murder, end the homosexuality, end the perversion. Why not just consummate the thing? Why not burn this hell hole out of existence? That's what I supplicate. I pray this all day. I pray this every day. Every day. Every day. I tell God this all. He ought to be sick of me. Let's just go. Let's just launch this thing. Get some metaphysical warriors and let's just end the whole hellhole. I don't want nobody to get married. I don't want nobody to have no more kids. I don't care about none of that. Wrap this up. I don't want a future. I don't want a destiny. I don't have any plans. I don't want a promotion on the job. I don't want nothing else new. I don't want to buy nothing. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to see the Eiffel Tower. I don't want to see the Grand Canyon. Let's wrap this up. It's an uninhabitable planet and becoming more and more uninhabitable every day. Yeah. And you trying to live here? You making plans? You counting on your 401k with the mark of the beast given? You can't even access the money. If you got a retirement fund, you can't get it unless you got what? The mark. Because we don't give anybody any more checks and money. We'll account for your retirement fund if you got the mark. Now you can go and access it using the mark. Now what you going to do when you got $500,000 in your retirement, but the mark is necessary to get your money? Shoot, I thank God to understand my heart. The Lord will understand your, if you take that mark, that's a sign of allegiance to the beast, and it damns your soul. I got $1.3 million in retirement. Shoot, you can hear that now, shoot. Man, I ain't gonna let them take my money. Lord, you understand my heart. And I love you, Lord, but where my mark? That's what's going to happen. I'm telling you what's going to happen. Because folk going to try to save their lives. And the Bible tells you, Jesus speaking as a prophet, you try to save your life, you'll lose your life. That's why he said it, because he knows what's coming. And you're going to opt to eat tomorrow and forfeit up eternal life to get a bologna sandwich. That's why I'm trying to teach us to fast now. You know the greatest witness against you? Just turn sideways and look in the mirror. You see how your belly is bigger than your butt? That's the witness against you. Because your God is what? Your belly, and your glory is in your shame, according to the Bible. I'm not making this up. You won't be able to go and fast because you can't stop eating. You fast for a day and you got all kind of cramps and knees hurting, headaches, and walking around crippled and crazy. I can't make it. Didn't he say to eat some soup in the evening? I ain't said what to do one way or the other. I don't care what you do. But I know this, if your God is your belly, you're not going to make it. Jesus said we'd be overcome with surfeiting, overeating. You blow your belly up big. You know why you get hungry? Because you done made your belly so big that to feel full, you got to eat more. Your belly just like a balloon. It expands and you pile food into it. And now it's set at a bigger size. So now it takes more to make you feel full. You begin to fast and deny yourself. Your belly going to do what? It's going to shrink up. So you won't need as much to eat. So therefore, going without food won't be so detrimental to you, so hard on you, because your belly ain't as big as a whale. I sure don't like how you talk. It make you feel convicted because you out there and you lost. That's what's happening to you. It's not me making you feel bad. It's your self-indulgence that makes you feel bad, because you've been indulging yourself so long that you're not ready to leave here at the appointed time. You won't be ready to go. Because you won't have God as your God. Jesus won't be your Lord. Your own belly will. And everybody's going to be laughing about this and making fun about it and telling jokes about it as the ship of Zion sails away. And you ain't on it. It's because the man told you precisely, explicitly, you will be overcome by overeating. Jesus don't mince no words, man. The church full of fat people. You don't see them everywhere. That woman over there leading the choir weighing 350 pounds ain't funny. That woman not ready to go. That big old fat preacher not ready to lead anybody anyway. He's not ready to go. The Lord of heaven said you be overcome by food. So what's the devil doing? Every block, Taco Bell, Burger King, McDonald's, Red Lobster. He knew America was a threat, so he bathed the country in food. You go to Sam's or go to a grocery store, look, food stacked up to the ceiling. They're throwing out food every night. I used to work at McDonald's. We had to take the whole bin, and they wouldn't let you eat it. No, this has got to be waste. Dump it all out. We just cooked it. It's homeless people all around. Let's just get... The health department says, you got to throw it out. Waste, man. Tons of waste. People starving to death. And Americans just turn their nose up at a steak. Overcome by too much. We're not overcoming this country by lack. We overcome by too much. Man, you got folk on welfare getting food stamps that eat better than 90% of the world. Think about what I'm saying. You get food stamps that eat better than most people on earth in America. God did favor America because America became the bastion of the gospel. And he gave America things to share with the rest of the world. Instead, what do? We hoard it for self. Hoard it for self. Me, mine, I. Until now, Americans are fat, dumb, and lazy. That's what's the plague on this country. The curse on this country is a bunch of fat, dumb, lazy folk who'd rather get Section 8 housing and food stamps before they work. That's the truth. So you see now what the devil's doing. Daniel chapter 10, the man prayed through and another angel came to answer that prayer. It's all about prayer. If you can't see that everything is all about prayer now and staying down and supplication and fasting, you're missing it by a million miles. Don't get caught up in the hoopla down here because that's a trick. J.K. Rowling said she was through writing Harry Potter books. You know what she just brought out? Another Harry Potter book. Because they got to keep doing what? Instilling the witchcraft and the sorcery in the kids. Because they're getting ready for a metaphysical war, and these kids got to be trained to operate in witchcraft against their parents. New Harry Potter book entitled The Cursed Child. While another man is making a stage play about the book. The Cursed Child. J.K. Rowling. What is J.K. Rowling? She's a witch. Sent by Satan to teach these young kids witchcraft, and the parents give the kids a library of witchcraft books to be used on themselves. The kids sitting in the room working spells and incantation. The parents about half crazy. Well, the kid at night sitting in the room working all these spells. You know, you can go on the internet and teach, and you can get taught how to do spells over the internet. How to draw your pentagram out or your hexagram out in the floor. Sit in the middle of it and draw the powers of nature, they call it, to influence your parents to do anything you say. That's why the parents are so crazy. That's why the kids run wild in school. A lot of them divine spells on the principals and the assistant principals and the teachers. They've been taught magical powers from Satan. And you buy the kid the very book used to divine up demon spirits on you and bewitch you, thinking it's just a reading assignment. You know kids not going to read something, man, unless it's something that's been divined on them to read. They don't even like to read. They're on a cell phone somewhere. How is all these kids just caught up in Harry Potter? Want to cry about not getting the latest Harry Potter book. But you know something evil is afoot through this man? It's teaching the kids witchcraft. All this stuff is coming down on us. What is the goal? What is the devil after? It began, as we read it back in Daniel chapter 2, they will mingle their seed with the seed of man. He's after a mixed multitude, people that are mixed with this demonically inspired mindset. He wants to mix the nature of the demons in with the human race so that mankind thinks like demons. Mankind is demon possessed. What's the goal? The goal is to produce an army. Who are going to be in the army? The devil is manufacturing an army of androgens. What is an androgen? An androgen is a non-gender specific human being. They're neither male, neither are they female. They're an androgen. If you see anybody stand up against you concerning the gospel and righteousness, you're talking to an androgen. Bruce Jenner is an androgen. You see how he doesn't know what he is? Michael Jackson was an androgen. He bore both genders in his body. He was like a walking man-woman. That's the nature of an androgen. Raymond Simone sitting on The View every morning is an androgen. They come across as lesbians, homosexuals, bisexuals, transgender. That's not what it is. They've been embodied by an unseen entity that's making them into an androgen. They have no gender specificity outlined in the core of their being. Ellen DeGeneres is an androgen. They make her a comedian telling you jokes every day. So you get what? Comfortable being with an androgen. See, the devil's making them comfortable to you. They're making them really, really relatable to you. You're able to understand them. They're funny. They're conversational. He's got the demons incarnate so that we become familiar with them and they become familiar spirits. So anybody says anything offensive about an androgen, watch how the world jumps to their defense. So they put Don Lemon on the news, Shepard Smith on the news, homosexuals everywhere. The homosexual guy on Good Morning America the other day just married a man. On Good Morning America, every day, just married a man. Now he's sitting there next to, what's her name? Robin, what's her name?
Roberts.
Who?
Roberts.
Robin Roberts. All these are androgens. You see how they're embedded now. The creatures have come across the divide. And you're looking at them walking around and talking to you, sitting next to you in a cubicle at work. And now they're just, they're absorbed into the environment. They've infiltrated. These are androgens. These are the Nephilim come alive. We're living in the midst of a science fiction movie. From the White House to the outhouse, those are androgens standing in front of you. Androgens are running for president because they have enough androgens to vote for them. See, the devil's dealing with numbers. If I can get the majority of the people to be androgens, infiltrated, mixed multitudes that the seed of the serpent is mixed into the DNA, the chromosomes of the people, I can raise up a king over them and the people won't resist him. Because all of them will be androgens. So how does God separate you from the androgens? Ye must be born again by the blood of the Lamb so that your bloodline will be what? Cleansed from all unrighteousness, which is the presence of the seed of the serpent. The serpent infiltrated Eve at the DNA level, at the chromosome level, and she passed on that perverted seed to Adam, infiltrating the whole human race with the DNA and the makeup of the devil. This thing is about a nature down in your DNA, a nature down in your genetic, your gene pool has been contaminated. That's not being taught in church. So we've been fighting the wrong war. The preacher trying to tell you how to be blessed, how to have your best life now, how to have a better marriage. Notice how people stay on the surface talking about how to have better relationships, how to relate better to your kids. Women's seminars about how to be a good mother and a good wife. That surface stuff, man, you'll never hit the taproot of the problem. The axe has been laid where? To the root of the tree. He had to die to kill that androgen. He became the second Adam to undo the damage done by the first Adam at the molecular level, at the chromosome level, at the DNA level. You have to mortify. You got to kill that seed, man. It's a renegade seed. It's a rebellious seed. It's a contaminated seed that must be killed in me. And only the blood applied to the lintel of my doorpost will allow the death angel to pass over me. That's what's wrong with people. That's why they can't get it in church. That's why they still love the world, because the seed of the serpent makes them pursue things in the world by nature. All I know, I'm trying to get myself a husband. You, the devil, is who you are. You full of the devil. Sitting in church still trying to seduce, trying to manipulate, trying to get somebody. You the devil, and you going to hell, and you need to. And I'm glad about it, because you're in the way. You can kid yourself all the way through all of this and think it's godly. Well, I think it's a godly desire to want a husband. Well, go to hell, you and your husband both. This is a warfare. It's a metaphysical warfare, good buddy. Everybody ain't cut out for this. The androgens are everywhere. When an androgen dies like Prince just did, look how the whole world just gets tumultuous. You can't see the guy change his name to an androgen symbol that had both the male and female symbol on the symbol because he was an androgen. That's why the people are tumultuous. That's why Christians start talking about it, because they're cursed with the seed of the androgens. The Nephilim seed is in the church, so therefore the folks on Facebook start jumping up and putting Prince in heaven. I bring it up and don't care nothing about it. The happiest guy on earth is when you walk up to an old man and say, "You heard Prince died." He asks you, "Who is that?" Amen. That's the guy right there. That's the guy Jesus said, "Come follow me." Here you are trying to debate it, talking about bringing back memories of how I remember in the 80s, Prince was, I always have, you are androgen, you going to hell with him. I hope you enjoy your track down to hell with him, because here you are bringing up memories from your stinking past because some androgen died, and here you are glorying in your stinking past. You're filthy to even bring it up. Your dead androgen king is now dead. Now you got to bring up a guy's life sitting on an album cover butt naked. That was his album about sex. First album he made, it was riding a white horse butt naked. Then the guy got on the radio talking about he repented as a Jehovah's Witness. Prince is in the arms of the Lord now, the guy saying on a Christian quote unquote radio station. And the guy was just here in Atlanta in concert. How you done repented singing Head on stage? Head. A tribute to oral sex. I want to be your lover, the only one you come for. And you repented. Do me, baby. You repented. Come on, man. Stop kidding yourself. Why is it everything the devil does can draw you into the dialogue with him about his androgen folk? Because you got it in you.
That's right.
You demonized. You're under the influence of the demons, and at the drop of a hat, you'll jump right with the devil and stand against the church folk because you're full of the devil yourself. You're part of the mixed multitude full of the devil's serpentine seed. It's going to boil down to the saints versus the sodomites. The sodomites ain't coming into this. The sodomites ain't standing in this inferno in the tribulation period. By nature, you won't get in it. This is the first time in your life you ain't gonna be a fake church stuff, buddy. You can't get into this. You can't make up your mind to join this. You got to be born into this, and the nature got to take hold of you, that you make your own personal stand because of who you are. I am a manifested son. I've got the righteous seed of Jesus Christ in me, and I'm able to stand in an inferno when the other folk give up. I'm like a time-lapse watch. I keep on ticking. Because the seed in me, the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ is in me, is keeping me. Don't you know you encounter enough stuff in life nowadays that anybody would go insane any other time in history? You should have lost your mind a long time ago. But God has kept you. But God has kept your mind in perfect peace because it was stayed on him. But God didn't let you go under. Man, the heartache, the stuff you've been through in life, the disappointments, the anxiety, the hurt, the pain. Don't you know that was the Lord that kept your mind? Think about what I'm saying. Folks dying, folks going crazy, sickness and disease and infirmity all around you. We're living in an inferno. You can't see the fire has been heated 7 times hotter. It's going to take a supernatural intervention now just to keep your mind stable. They standing on TV telling you homosexual marriage is right. The president says it's a shame that North Carolina and Mississippi would pass laws to discriminate against our citizens. These are our brothers and sisters. That's the talk of an androgen right there, but that's a devil talking to you. You got to be able to stand in the midst of it, man. If you cost your job, good. I wasn't born with a job. I can die without one. I don't care, man. I'm making my stand on the word of God. Having done all to stand, stand therefore, he said. If you're married to an unbeliever, he said, if the unbeliever departs in such cases, you are not bound. That's what the man said. Because he knew all still conditions was coming, man. It's going to be rough from here on. That's going to be a rough ride in. If the unbeliever departs, you ain't bound to him, buddy. Let him go. Let her go. It's sink or swim now, man. It's fish or cut bait now. I'm not here to play with nobody. I ain't got a joke to tell nobody, buddy. Because only the strong going to survive this one right here. I'm talking about for real. This ain't no sermonizing and preaching. Buddy, you better get for real. Because we're dealing with disembodied metaphysical creatures, androgens. They're embodied now. You look into the faces all the time.